Romans 5 and verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That might sound very complicated, but that's why we meet together, and I'm seeking to explain what actually are really wonderful and encouraging words. And I've got an illustration for you to really help you to grasp what this passage is all about. Last week I mentioned Blenheim Palace. Well, this illustration focuses more on Blenheim Palace. So, Blenheim Palace is owned by the Duke of Marlborough, currently the 12th Duke of Marlborough. But if you go back 200 years, the 5th Duke of Marlborough, he was the one who was looking after it. Although, sadly, he didn't look after it. In fact, he wasted all their money. He was such a wasteful man that he had to sell off different properties that he had just to be able to afford to live, and even some of the really expensive paintings that they had at Blenheim Palace. Well, he died in 1840, and even though he'd sold off a lot of things, still the family was left with huge financial problems. 52 years later, 1892, Charles, the 9th Duke of Marlborough, took over. He inherited Blenheim, and the family, the estate, it was so close to bankruptcy. It was about to be ruined. It was falling into disrepair. It really was not a pleasant place. Well, Charles decided to make a strategic marriage. He married a wealthy American by the name of Consuelo. I'm not sure if I've got that pronunciation right. Can you correct me, Chris? Yeah, Consuelo Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt is still a name known in America. She was incredibly wealthy. She brought, in today's money, $78 million. Well, no sooner had the marriage happened that repairs, restoration, replenishment of Blenheim Palace got underway, and Blenheim Palace was saved. And frankly, that's the only reason why we can go and visit today, and that's why it's still there. Two people had massive impact. Firstly, the fifth Duke of Marlborough, who ruined the family, and then secondly, this lady, Consuelo, who rescued them. And that's really what Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21 are all about. Something very, very similar here has happened to the human race. Our first father, Adam, brought ruin. His disobedience resulted in sin coming into the world and death coming to all people. But a second person came in, Jesus Christ, to rescue the human race. His obedience brought life. Now, unlike Charles, the fifth Duke of Marlborough, and his marriage to Consuelo, that frankly was all about money, Jesus came out of love. So the illustration is not a perfect one, but it helps us to see how one person can bring great ruin, another can rescue. So this is what these verses in Romans 5 are all about. Death through Adam, life through Jesus. Now we're not going to look at all of it today. That would be far too long, too complicated. I'm really going to focus mostly on verses 12 to 14. And then after the family service, so in a couple of weeks' time, we'll look at the rest of the passage, 15 to 21. And we'll take it slowly, because these are such encouraging and important verses. You see, here we have an explanation for how the world has become such a painful, difficult place. And we feel it, don't we, from time to time. Thankfully, things are not all as bad as they could be. Thankfully, there are people who show love and kindness. Thankfully, the sun is sometimes shining. But there are times that of illness or of tragedy, or when we've been hurt, or when we've been bereaved, when we really feel the darkness and the pain of living in this world. Sometimes we find ourselves asking, why do people have to be so selfish and so unkind? Why is there such grief and pain in our lives? Why do we die? I've said this before, but biologically, there's no reason why an organism should die. And yet there's death in the world. Well, today we're going to focus largely on how Adam brought ruin to the human race. Next time, we'll look more at how Jesus rescues us. My first heading is this: sin and death came through one man, Adam. Sin and death came through one man, Adam. Verse 12 makes some bold statements. I'll read it shortly. Incidentally, it doesn't sound like the sentence finishes, which it doesn't. Because then we have this little aside in verses 13 and 14. And really, the sentence doesn't get picked up again until verses 18 and 19. You'll have to wait a couple of weeks before we get there. So if it sounds slightly odd and unfinished, that's why. But let me just read verse 12 again. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. Let's just take it bit by bit. Sin entered the world through one man. Now, when God made the world, God made everything beautiful and wonderful. In fact, we read at the end of Genesis chapter 1 that God saw all that he had made and it was very good. And of course, we see something still of that in creation. We still see beauty. We still see the colors, the music. We still see so much that is good, and yet it's been spoiled. God himself only makes what is good. We read in the book of James, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. God only does what is loving and good. And when God created the first human beings, Adam and then Eve, they were perfect. And at least for a time, they loved God and they loved each other and they obeyed God, and everything was wonderful. It was a perfect, beautiful, happy world. Now, God had given a clear command to Adam. And it was this: Adam was not to eat from the tree of the knowledge and good and evil that was in the middle of the Garden of Eden. God had made this beautiful garden for them, full of trees. They could eat from any of the trees that they liked, the wonderful fruit that was there. They weren't hungry. But there was one tree, God says, don't eat from that. And God said, the day you eat of it, you will surely die. But Eve was tempted by the devil, who came in the form of a serpent. And Eve, seeing how good that fruit looked, she took some and she ate it. And she gave some to Adam, and he also ate of that fruit. They had disobeyed God. The one command that God had given, they had disobeyed. Sin had entered the world. Oh, it seems such a small thing, doesn't it? Just taking one piece of fruit. And yet it was a disobedience that opened the floodgates so that sin came into the world. What a sorry, what a sad day that was. The door had been opened to all kinds of evil. Adam and Eve's relationship was immediately spoiled. Adam starts blaming his wife. Later, they had two sons, Cain and Abel. And the two sons quarreled and fought, and Cain killed his brother Abel. And all the descendants of Adam became self-centered. And this is why every child born into the world does what is wrong. You never have to teach a child how to be selfish. We have to teach them how to be good, don't we? And we're all the same. You ask my mother, I was just the same when I was a little babe. You ask my wife, I'm probably not much different now. We've been spoiled. Sin has ruined human nature. We love ourselves rather than God. And this is why there is greed and oppression and quarreling and war in the world. This is the Bible's explanation why there is so much pain and hurt and grief in the world. Sin entered the world through one man. And then the next phrase in verse 12, and death through sin. Death entered the world through this sin. You see, God had warned Adam that the punishment for disobedience would be death. He said, do not eat from that tree. And if you do, you will die. How sad. Death came into the world. The implication is that Adam and Eve and all their descendants would have lived forever if they had not disobeyed God. The moment Adam took of that fruit, he died spiritually. Death is separation, separation of body from soul. Well, he was separated from God. And you know what Adam and Eve did when they heard God? They went and hid. They'd never hidden from God before, but now they're ashamed. There was this barrier between them. Spiritual death. It speaks in the Bible of how we were dead in trespasses and sins, but Christ made us alive. Spiritually dead, but also physical death. That didn't happen immediately, of course. Adam and Eve lived for many, many years after the fall, as it's called. but eventually they died physically. And this is why people die. Death came through sin. And in this way, it says, death came to all people because all sinned. It's not just that everyone does what is wrong, but actually, when Adam sinned, we all became sinners. How does that work? We weren't even around. Look at verse 19. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, that is Adam, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. When Adam sinned, his very human nature was corrupted. We're his descendants, so we're already born as sinners with that corrupted, sinful human nature. And this is what is sometimes called original sin. You've heard that phrase, original sin? We inherited Adam's guilt. We inherited his sinful nature. Let me just read to you from Psalm 51, where King David, who sadly sinned against God, and then he wrote a psalm of confession. And at one point he says this, Psalm 51 verse 5, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. It's not very pleasant to think about these things, but this is God's explanation for why there is so much pain and hurt in our lives and in the world. We are dead in our sins. We need to be made alive. Then we come to verses 13 and 14, and they're a little bit of an aside. I won't spend too much time on them. But really, verses 13 and 14 are answering the question, well, how can you say people sin if the law hadn't yet been given? So here was Adam, created at the beginning, and then a few thousand years later, along came Moses. And God gave to Moses, the prophet, his law, things like the Ten Commandments. And for all those thousands of years, there hadn't been any clear laws